Welcome to the first installment of the 2013 Ashton Awards podcast. The Ashton Awards showcase practical, local energy solutions that cut carbon, protect the environment, reduce poverty, and improve people's lives. The UK's most exciting clean tech businesses have been selected as finalists for the 2013 UK Ashton Awards. Linked by a passion for better buildings and smart energy, these innovative companies are helping to cut fuel bills and energy use. Breathing buildings. Cold drafts in heated buildings contribute to rising fuel bills as occupants rush to turn up their heating. Cambridge University's spin-off, Breathing Buildings, has solved the problem by expertly designing a natural ventilation system that minimizes energy use and improves air quality inside buildings.
I'm Sean Fitzgerald, Managing Director of Breathing Buildings, the low energy natural ventilation company based in Cambridge. We set up in 2006 to change the face of natural ventilation in the UK by really grappling with the issues that have historically been a challenge for the industry to do with cold drafts in winter, but without using huge amounts of heating to cure those in buildings. When I left Bain & Company Strategy Consulting in London back in 2001, I wanted to go back to my roots of engineering and just try and figure out a better way of building the world. And the research program at Cambridge going on at the time was on creating low energy buildings. And a particular area of interest that I was able to add value to was to do with fluid mechanics and airflow in buildings, because my background way back was in fluid mechanics. So I was enjoying that research program. Big question, how do you create a low energy building with intelligent ventilation systems? And after about 4 years of working in research, looking at real buildings, looking at lab models, mathematical models, and talking to people in the industry, we stumbled upon what we thought was the best way of dealing with natural ventilation. We identified that the historic way of curing cold drafts in buildings was to, frankly, throw a radiator at the location where the cold air was being introduced. And the amount of heating that that would then require was just enormous. And we thought, this is not the way to do it. So we devised a new way of ventilating a building in winter, which was to premix the incoming cold air with enough room air to temper it, in other words, take the chill off it. You can literally halve the energy consumption, the heating energy consumption of a building overnight by using that strategy rather than the old strategy. So we filed a patent on this concept and the system required to go and implement this. And BP, who had funded the original research, then said, we want to really make this happen. So they actually funded the setting up of Breathing Buildings back in 2006. So seed funding from BP to get us going for a good 2 years to develop technology around the patent and take it to market. And it's been, you know, just an incredible journey since then. One person alone isn't ever going to go and make something happen. And it's all about team. You need to have the right balance of skills within your team to go and execute on this great innovation. Maybe the most surprising skill that I think you need to start with is sales. You cannot underestimate the importance of selling your idea from the moment it's just an idea, even if you don't have a product. You've got to go and ensure that the market wants it. And that requires having somebody articulate, who understands the technology and has persuasive selling techniques within them. It's just got to be within them. And it's the hardest thing. It's the lifeblood of all companies. And it's the longest time scale to get right, to make sure you've got those. So if there was one thing I would delve into in terms of the balance of skills within your team, it's sales, that you really need to make sure you're starting from day one that you're there. I've spent my whole life in energy and I care about the environment and I care about doing more with less. I care about green energy. The business of Breathing Buildings is about trying to use our energy more efficiently, so using less energy to create wonderfully comfortable environments. That's what inspires me and has done all my life. The last thing I would like the world to know is that if you've got your eyes on a new building and you're trying to make it naturally ventilated or trying to make it low energy, you know exactly where to come. Breathing Buildings.
Kiwi Power. Kiwi Power works with clients to enable them to benefit from a national grid scheme, which pays companies to turn down non-essential power during spikes in demand. This helps reduce the strain on the national electricity supply, while potentially reducing CO2 emissions by reducing the use of carbon-intensive peaking power stations.
I'm Yoav Zinger. I'm one of the co-founders of Kiwi Power, and we are a company that develops and commercializes a technology called demand response. And the idea is that most countries operate in the same way. We have a national grid, and you know, their job is to get power from power stations into homes and factories and where we need them. And 99% of the time, the system's in balance, but about 1% or statistically 100 hours in any given year, we have a peak in demand, which needs to be managed. And today, that's being supplied by very polluting and expensive peaking power stations. So if you can imagine on a really cold day when everyone's watching the World Cup, that's when these get used. So we provide an alternative by intelligently monitoring and then controlling demand at airports, shopping centers, hotels, distribution centers, any kind of large industrial or commercial site. We can reduce enough power in aggregate that National Grid doesn't have to switch on a power station. Effectively, what happens is rather than paying the power station, they pay us, and then we pay our customers to turn down their consumption. It happens very infrequently, and it's a large financial benefit, and it's a large green benefit to the customers as well. And the nice thing about it is that it's free for them to sign up. So we install all the equipment, and we run the system for them, so effectively a customer signs up and starts getting a check every month. The grid, you know, the electricity grid, it's one of the oldest machines that we have that's still in use day to day, if not the oldest one, I wouldn't be surprised. And unsurprisingly, when you have a machine that's over 100 years old and you make a little bit of software optimization, you get a big reward for it. So that's something that we're sort of, you know, we're pushing through. To be successful in the green space is exactly the same as being successful in any other space. And I think that one of the challenges that sort of green entrepreneurs have had is because they want to save the world, they think that business doesn't apply to them, and it really does. So I think one of the most important things that we have built into our DNA is that we're a commercial company. We're developing pretty cutting-edge technology, and we're doing some pretty amazing stuff, but we're doing it in the same way that any company would try to sell a product. Yeah, one of the things that really surprised us was we always sort of assumed that a company would sign up and you know, they'd be happy to have the green benefits, but that would be it. What we found is that when we started collecting the smart meter data that we do, which we deliver to National Grid and the customer doesn't really need to see, they were actually pretty interested in getting that as well. So we created a bunch of applications which are super friendly and easy to use and really quick. And we're seeing that customers actually use those to see where their consumption habits lie and to drive through further efficiencies. And we were quite surprised that customers like to be engaged like this. We also, when we started, we thought that customers would want less engagement. And what we found is that they wanted to feel like somebody was watching them and sort of taking care of them all the time, which we do. And we started communicating that to them through performance reports and monthly earning statements and things like that. And they really appreciate that and enjoy it. And it's the more engagement we have, the better everything seems to run. The truth is that, you know, reducing energy is, on the one hand, it's not rocket science. On the other hand, it's not cookie cutter. Every business is different in the same way that, you know, every business is different when it comes to optimizing their profitability. It needs that sort of level of detail in order to understand where to go. What I would say, though, that whereas companies are pretty good at optimizing their profitability, they're not so good at optimizing their energy. And there's so many low-hanging fruits that we see whenever we go onto a business and whenever we go onto a new site, that once, you know, if they do pay some attention to it, they'll find lots of really quick returns. I think demand response in general is really only wide scale in the States and in North America and in Canada, and it's massively successful over there. It's something which really has helped reduce prices and improve grid stability. You know, depending on who you ask, it all started with an order from FERC, from the energy regulator, and it's been a massive success, and I think we should copy as much of that as we can, because it really is one of the big success stories of the smart grid. I wish that there was just one policy change that we could make and that would be it. The truth is we've got a bunch of policy that needs to happen, not just for demand response, but electricity in the UK as a whole. I would say that a strong emphasis on supporting demand side, so not just building more and more power stations, but actually being more efficient with what we have in the electricity market reforms is probably it, and they're working on it. I would say to any sort of budding green entrepreneur, who's thinking about starting up a business, think about starting up a business. And that means think about your customer. That's the most important thing. Whatever technology you might have, whatever innovation you might have, whatever solution you might have, somebody's going to have to buy it. Whoever it is, you need to understand who they are. You need to understand why they're going to buy it from you and how much they're going to spend so that you can make sure that you're doing it profitably. And doing it profitably is ultra important, because if you're not profitable, you're not sustainable. If you're not sustainable, you're not green. So the things have to go hand in hand. Demand response is something which really is only widespread in the States today, but it is a very, very successful and a very sort of integral part of their smart grid. In 5 years, I expect that to be the same in the UK, and I expect us to be the ones that are driving it. I also expect that countries across the world, which are facing their own peaking power problems and energy problems and decarbonization issues and all that stuff, will look more and more towards smart grid and software solutions rather than just building more and more power stations, especially fossil fuel power stations. And I expect that we'll be the ones that supply them that kind of technology and know-how and regulatory advice.
Monodraft. Cooling and ventilating commercial buildings is a major money and energy drainer. Buckinghamshire-based Monodraft have developed CoolPhase, a low-energy cooling and ventilating system that reduces the running costs of buildings and creates a fresh and healthy indoor environment. Energy consumption is reduced by up to 90% compared to conventional cooling systems.
So my name is Nick Hopper. I'm the technical director of Monodraft. Monodraft has a low-energy natural ventilation, natural cooling, and natural daylight manufacturer. The air conditioning is one of the most energy-intensive products within the building industry. Uses vast amounts of energy, and that's unsustainable. And one of our key successes has been to stick to our overarching theme, which for us is low energy building products, and we've stuck to that from the start of our project briefs right to the finish. We've developed the natural cooling system, which is CoolPhase, and we've been working on this technology since 2005. And the product that we have been finalist for with the Ashton Awards is the CoolPhase ceiling mounted system, which uses a static phase change material within an intelligent air handling unit to provide low energy cooling solution for commercial buildings. We've always put a lot of efforts into constantly innovating. We have a strong R&D presence, and we put a lot of effort into that. It is considerably difficult for companies to constantly innovate and maintain commercial success at the same time. A key barrier within the building industry is the route for innovation. The building industry is predominantly very conservative. With the IT industry, technology is championed, the companies will strive to have the latest technologies. However, with the building industry, we're still building with bricks and mortar, which are centuries old. The benefit of CoolPhase is that we have this supply route of fresh air, and we're able to intelligently control the amount of CO2 within the space, as well as the ambient temperature. Whereas with air conditioning, the environment is recirculatory air, the air is dried. The idea of sitting 20 people in the same sealed box and breathing the same air for 8 hours a day is it's got to change. I certainly believe that CoolPhase and low energy cooling and natural ventilation and ventilation supply it will be a growing market. We need to be identifying at what point are we going to start having potential blackouts. The natural way to overcome those spikes is to try and to diminish those spikes. So, for instance, in California, price of electricity changes throughout the day. The most expensive energy is during peak daytime conditions, in sort of lunchtime through to 3 o'clock. One aspect the government should investigate would be to investigate the use of timed energy levels throughout the day, varying the cost of electricity, for instance, during peak loading, so that the surges of within the grid could be mitigated. So within 5 years, we would like CoolPhase to be a mainstream commercial product offered in several different countries and being a viable alternative to conventional air conditioning.
You have been listening to the 2013 Ashton Awards podcast. To find out more about this year's finalists and this year's Ashton Awards, and to access more podcasts in this series, visit www.ashton.org. The 2013 Ashton Awards ceremony will take place on the 20th June and will be broadcast live on Green Dot TV from 7 p.m. UK time. For the latest news on the Ashton Awards, follow us on Twitter @AshtonAwards or search for the Ashton13 hashtag.